You've landed Inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
What's up, Launch Street? Tamara here for another great Q&A session. I love these questions. Please keep them coming. As I know I've said over and over again, we all benefit when one of you asks a question. So if you're thinking it, someone else is thinking it. If you're dealing with it, somebody else is probably dealing with it. So get your questions in. All you got to do is go to our podcast page on our website and click the record button. It's like one step and done. So look forward to hearing more. On that note, and hearing more, hey, if you've got friends and colleagues, people in your community who you think would benefit from hearing any of these podcasts, particularly the Q&A, do me a favor and share it with them. We love it when we get to extend our community and add more value to people like you who need it, who need more innovation, who are working through challenges, who are trying to stay relevant and gain the competitive edge in this complex changing marketplace. All right, with that, let's get to Amelia's question.
Hey, Tamara, this is Amelia. I've got an innovation team in my company and things are going well there, but it seems like we're really struggling to get people to think about innovation outside that team. And it almost feels like there's an us them mentality, like we're the only ones that are supposed to be doing it. And no, like people are digging in their heels if they're not in that group. And I'm wondering if you've got any advice how we can get kind of everybody to understand that they're a part of this and it's not just us. And, you know, we're not somehow the cool kids on the block, that everybody benefits from this. Thanks.
Amelia, first, let me take a moment to recognize you for realizing that in doing something that is obviously very well-intentioned and in theory makes sense, that you're actually suffering some unintended consequences, some negative consequences out of it as well. It's a real challenge when we set up a team to innovate and when that team kind of goes behind the black curtain and kind of gets to do their magic and come back. There are some things that happen that are negative, that are outputs of that type of situation. So those of us in leadership, of course, we're very well-intentioned. We are doing this so that we can drive innovation in our organization. We're doing it because we want to make someone accountable so that it actually gets done, right? Because if nobody's accountable for innovation, who's actually going to do it? I'm going to give you, Amelia, and for all of us, a little bit of tough love on this, and then some practical ways to move past the situation that you're in. And I just want to say, Amelia, I really appreciate your question because I think in the question, you actually stated some of the challenges that you're facing and that a lot of us out here are facing by doing this misguided step of setting up this, you know, special innovation team. As everybody knows, I am a big believer. My experience has really shown that innovation is for everybody. It is why it's the title of my upcoming book, Innovation is Everybody's Business. Because I truly believe that. And great solutions and ideas and improvements, those come all over your organization, not from a select group of people, definitely not from a team that gets to wear the cool shirts and work in the cool offices while the rest of us just grind away. So while it is well-intentioned, the idea of having this innovation team that is separate or exclusive or unique really causes a lot of challenges inside organizations. And it ends up in many situations, Amelia, I think you're facing this, it ends up doing more harm than good. Because here's the thing. Let's say there's six people on the team, whatever it is, it can be two, it can be 1,000, whatever it is, it's the small team relative to the bigger group. Here's the thing. You are not tapping into the mind and the ideas of and all of the potential of all the other people in your organization. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we're paying everybody that works for us, right? We're paying everybody on the team. We're paying everybody in the organization. Why wouldn't we want everybody's A game? That's the part I don't quite understand. Why would we want only six people innovating when all 1,000 people could innovate? And even if it's just all 25 people, everyone on my team is responsible for innovation because I'm paying all of them and I want the best from all of them. And you know what? They're the ones doing the work. They see things that I don't see. They see things that I don't even interact with on a regular basis because of the role of my role, my responsibilities versus theirs. So just a little, I don't mean to sound super harsh, Amelia, but I think it's really important to recognize that we're really minimizing our impact by selecting a few group of people. And I think it creates, as you actually stated, this us versus them mentality. And I think there's a few reasons that this actually happens. One is, the people who get to be the us, right? The ones who are the innovative ones, the ones who get to be on that team, they then start to feel like they're in rarefied air. They start to have a little bit of ego to them. And I know that's not, it's not malicious, but it's what happens because suddenly you're told you get to wear the cool shirt and do the cool things and think about the like awesome possibilities while everybody else just does their job. So this us versus them comes out of a little bit on one side, the people on the committee seem to think that they're special or unique or have a special talent and skill, right? So they start to carry themselves a little different. And on the other side, the people on the other side are resentful. The rest of us, them in the group, are resentful because we're over here like, well, we have ideas and we have solutions. What the heck? Why don't we get to be a part of that? But we don't because we're not part of the team. So the us versus them, Amelia, is very real and it's very tangible in an organization. And to me, from a business owner perspective, a team leader perspective, one of the biggest downfalls of that is shit does not get implemented. Ideas do not move forward. What ends up happening is this one-way tennis match where, you know, the people who are on the innovation team are lobbing these ideas, these balls over the court, and the people on the other side are like, duck and weave, look the other way, because all they see is more work, ideas and solutions not invented or thought of by them, or the ideas and solutions that get lobbed over the net aren't actually applicable because they're missing a key piece that, oh, if they were involved, actually would have been figured out. So ultimately, the us versus them translates into bad morale, poor engagement, but also things not getting done, things not getting implemented. Sometimes it's because the ideas miss the mark, but oftentimes it's because there's no buy-in. There's no incentive for the people who aren't on the innovation team to add more work to their plate or to change how they're doing things. So keep in mind that us versus them happens on two levels. One, on engagement morale, more on a personal kind of team level, and it actually minimizes collaboration. And two is on the business output level, right? All that effort to create a team that innovates doesn't actually get you anywhere. So that's a little bit of the tough love. It's just not, it's not worth it to have a team of innovators who are out there doing. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have people accountable for innovation. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But I am saying that to have a select group of people that go behind the black curtain and get to be the unique and kind of rare few is actually doing more harm than good. And like I said, there's really two consequences that come out of it, two unintended consequences. One is everybody else is demoralized. So I was doing this workshop and this woman came up to me from a very large law firm. She came up to me after and she said, hey, Tamara, I have a question for you. So my company, in an effort to be more innovative, has created an innovation team. And that team is responsible for going around the company and seeing where there's opportunity to innovate, do things differently, and then coming up with solutions. And then they're going to come back and tell the rest of us what to do and how we need to change how we're doing stuff. She said, what do you think about that approach? And I, instead of answering her, asked her a question back. I said, well, how does that make you feel? And you could visibly see her slump over. And she said, you know, Tamara, I have to be honest, it makes me feel pretty bad. I mean, I'm over here, I'm the one doing the work. Why aren't they asking me? I've had solutions in my, you know, percolating in my brain for a long time now. She said, frankly, I'm more demoralized than ever, and I'm not really engaged to go to work because these guys get to go off and kind of do the fun work, and I'm stuck just waiting for them to tell me what to do. She said, there's nothing motivating about that. And I think her comment back to me really said it all about that unintended consequence of morale and actually shutting down innovation across the rest of your organization. when you silo innovation, when you give it to a select few, you are minimizing everybody else. And the second one is innovation. The best innovation happens where the work is happening. So when you take a team and you actually remove them from the work to make them the quote unquote innovators, you're actually one, two steps, removing them one, maybe even two steps away from the work. So not only are they not going to get a lot done because they're kind of this silo team, but also they're not in the trenches doing the work where you can find the opportunities, see the challenges, figure out how to solve them. So the other unintended consequence is really that they're not in a space to innovate. To me, it's kind of equated to focus groups. So if anyone in the business world out there knows what I'm talking about, focus groups are the worst in my opinion. Basically, in market research, and we do this a lot, we used to do this a lot in new product development, we'd bring a group of consumers into this little conference room with a one-way mirror, and we'd show them some rough concepts of products, and we'd ask them, what do you think? Would you buy it? When would you use it? All these questions, right, to try to gauge the interest in the product. And this could be a product that's in a grocery store, for example. The challenge is when you take the person out of the environment in which they'd use the product, they can't really give you good feedback. They can't really tell you if they'd like it or not. And frankly, everybody says they like something and you really don't know until someone opens their wallet. But that's a different podcast. But do you see my point here? When you take people out of the environment where the work is happening, it's very hard to innovate and give feedback. And in creating a team that goes off and does their thing, you're actually doing them also a disservice because you're removing them from the work. So I've talked a little bit in circles, but ultimately what I've really shared are three unintended consequences, one in the beginning and two here. The one in the beginning is nothing ever gets implemented because there's no buy-in. It's that one-way tennis match I was talking about. And the other two is you're demoralizing the rest of the team. You're minimizing innovation across the rest of your company. And the third one is you're actually removing the people you're asking to innovate away from the work where it's happening. So this is why we don't want to silo innovation. And this is why, Amelia, you're having such a hard time with this team and this us versus them and you know, what are they doing versus what are we doing? All of that is an output of those unintended consequences. Now let me talk a little bit about practical ways to move past the situation you're in. You don't have to just outright dismantle your team. What I'd like you to do is think about it a little bit differently. And for those of you listening who don't have a team, I'd like you to think about how to implement what I'm about to talk about in a way that doesn't involve a siloed team that's two steps removed from everybody in the work. So I want to kind of overlay all of this with the reality that there's a difference between accountability and responsibility. And we often confuse the two. Back in the day, I was running this, or as VP of this consulting firm. And I was, on my job description, I had a bullet line to bring in $1 million of new business, 1 million plus, I think is what it said. And I was panicked. Like, how am I going to have the time to close enough deals to get to $1 million? And my mentor said to me something that changed how I thought about it completely, and I hope changes how you even think about innovation. He said, Tamara, there's a big difference between accountability and responsibility. Everyone on your team is responsible for finding opportunities, bringing in new clients, building relationships. You are accountable for ensuring that happens. That was a game changer for me because suddenly I realized in the sales world, and the same applies to innovation, I can be accountable for sales. I can be accountable for innovation, but I can ensure that everybody on the team is responsible for innovation. Do you see the distinction there? Amelia, your team, everybody in your company and on your team is responsible for innovation. But maybe one or two of you are accountable to making sure it happens. I'm a big believer in accountability because I think, you know, the little part of my brain is saying, Tamara, if nobody's accountable, it never gets done. That's true and untrue. I think we can make everybody responsible for being innovative and driving innovative solutions in the work that they do. I think that's incredibly important because, as I keep saying, innovation is everybody's business. But it's also okay to have a couple people accountable for ensuring that happens. But when you're setting up those accountable for innovation, Amelia, I want you to think about it a little differently. So here's how I want you to, Here's how I want you to adjust the team innovation mentality, the siloed team, the special team, this like, you know, the ones that are solely accountable and responsible. I want you to think of the team as enablers of innovation, not doers. That's one of the traps that we fall into, is we set this team of people to be the drivers of innovation. But ultimately, to be successful, you don't want them doing the innovation. You want them spreading out innovation, enabling innovation across your organization. When you have people who are the enablers of innovation, it brings everybody into the fold of innovation. So for your team in particular, Amelia, I would suggest that you flip the script on them. So take them out of the doer mindset and into the enabler mindset. And for all of us, I think this is really great advice. If you're the leader of a team, if you are part of a quote unquote committee right now that's supposed to be driving innovation, how can you make yourselves enablers of innovation, not the doers of innovation? That's a very big distinction. Let me talk through what the difference is from the way I see it. So enablers of innovation, your job is to help create a culture of innovation, to help make sure that everybody recognizes they're responsible for innovation. Your job is to identify good solutions and innovation from all of the people that you interact with. Your job is to drive tools and resources and culture and collaboration that help everybody in your company innovate. Your job as an enabler is to find ways to gather and collect all of this incredible innovation and solutions and ideation that's happening across your organization. And also, by the way, not just to collect, but to communicate back to your teams of what you're moving forward with and what you're not and why. Here's what I've discovered along the way. People don't need to be right. They need to be valued. They need to be heard. People, if you're going to enable innovation across your company and across your teams, people need to feel like you're paying attention to what they say. Even if you don't go with their solution or their idea, or you go a whole different path, you shut it down, that's okay. Not every idea is the right idea to move forward, but they need to hear it. And as the enabler, it's your job to create that innovation loop, that complete loop that allows everybody to participate, allows you to gather, collect, and critique, but also report back. So as the enabler of innovation, you are the teacher of innovation. You're helping people see how they can think differently about things. You're giving them tools and resources like our online innovation toolkit that lets them have innovation at their fingertips 24/7. That's your job as an enabler. As a doer, your job is to find all the opportunities, all the solutions, to figure out everything and to do the innovation yourself without the input and the work of the people around you. As a doer of innovation, it's your job to do it behind closed curtains and then go and present your ideas back to the team, hoping that you'll get buy-in for them. Do you see the difference? An enabler is an identifier and a teacher of innovation, and a doer is the one always thinking, creating, and doing innovation. Can you see why those two make a big difference in terms of their impact in an organization? So Amelia, for your team that already exists, turn them into enablers of innovation. They can be accountable for innovation, but everybody has to be responsible for innovation. But if they're gonna continue to be the doers, it's never gonna work. They need to back away from that role, which frankly, if you ask me, is relieving, because that is a lot of work to do on your own. But if you can flip them out of that mindset of doer, which creates that us versus them, and put them into that mindset of enabler, that's what brings everybody in to the innovation fold. Now, here's a couple of very tactical things, by the way, Amelia, that you can do to get them out of the doer mindset. First of all, is minimize the closed door meetings. Get them out of the habit of meeting only as a team together. Get them into the habit of meeting with their other teams, with other people, and then reconvening in the appropriate times. But get them out of this constant loop of closed door meetings. The second thing is have them set up committees, cross-functional committees that can help them spread innovation. Help them think of themselves as champions of innovation. So minimize closed door meetings and get them committees and hopefully cross-functional committees to help spread innovation across and bring other people into the fold. So Amelia, and for all of us out there, hopefully that helps us rethink this whole idea that we need a team to drive innovation, that we need a certain select group of people to be the doers of innovation. Like I said, I'm not against certain people being accountable for innovation, but I am against them being the ones who are the doers of innovation. I think for innovation to thrive in a company, Everybody has to be a part of it. Everybody has to contribute. They need to innovate in the time that they're actually doing the work. And those of us accountable need to find ways to be enablers of innovation. And that really means helping identify and teach innovation across our organizations. And by the way, Amelia, that's a very different role. So you may find that the team that you've assembled to be the innovation team right now is actually not the right team moving forward. Not everybody can be an enabler. Not everyone is the identifier and the teacher. Some people are the doers, and that's great. But a real innovation group, I hate to say team, because you can tell I'm struggling with my words there, because I don't want them siloed and I don't want them off. I do think everybody needs to be a part of it. But you do need leadership that's willing to take on the responsibility of ensuring it's happening across the organization. And those people are not always the doers. All right, Amelia, thank you for that question. That one really hit home for me because I've been in those situations and I've talked to a lot of people in those situations. And as I said in the beginning in my little tough love section, the unintended consequences of setting up this kind of rarefied air team are very real for people, and you're doing yourself a lot more damage. So I hope you'll think about how to break away from the silo mentality and create enablers of innovation.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, launchstreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.